Hi, I'm Natasha, and today we'll have two Bible readings. First one from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." The next reading is from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, which is a passage from which Clive told his story before. So as I read it, you'll be able to, I guess, picture the visuals that Clive would have done in his story. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people begged began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed.
Well, what is the scariest, most powerful force that you can imagine? I wonder if it's like a cyclone or a hurricane that's so powerful that it can rip roofs off houses and lift whole cows into the sky. Maybe it's in the natural world where tigers or bears can injure you or even kill you with one swipe from their paw. Or is it weapons of mass destruction? Like a nuclear bomb that can claim hundreds of thousands of lives with one drop. What is the scariest thing you can imagine? Well, in this story, we see a scary, powerful force that we don't actually normally pay attention to in the Western world. But it's actually scarier than them all. It's evil spiritual power. Dark spiritual forces that can take hold of a person and turn them into an unstoppable, destructive force. As we celebrate Indian Christian Day, it's important to remember that Indians are very aware of the spiritual world. People chant mantras and shlokas for protection from evil spirits. They cast spells on objects and people that they want to harm. And they consult shamans and astrologers to get success in their marriages, in their jobs, in their future. Have you seen those pundits on the road promising to read your palm and give you success in your marriage, your relationships, or whatever it is? Guidance in your life? Why does the Western world largely ignore the spiritual realm? With all of our science and rationality, we think we can explain everything through natural causes, so the spiritual world doesn't even exist. It reminds me of the quote from that great movie, The Usual Suspects, where the main character says, "The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to convince the world that he didn't exist." Well, he definitely does exist, and he is scary powerful. In this story, we see a man with an impure spirit, and the people could do nothing to control him. But we see an amazing thing when he meets Jesus of Nazareth. And just as surprising, we see how people respond to Jesus after they see this incredible miracle. Well, let's pray again as we look more deeply at this passage. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord of all things seen and unseen. Help us to see Jesus today, his power, his love, that we may turn to him and be freed from the power of evil. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we see in this passage is that evil is powerful, it's antisocial, and it's self-destructive. Powerful, antisocial, and self-destructive. Jesus and his disciples had come by boat to the other side of the lake of Galilee, and he's immediately met by a man with an evil spirit. And you clearly see the man's superhuman strength. If you've got the passage there on your phone or in your Bible, please open it up again. Mark chapter 5. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 3. "This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones." Can you imagine this man? With iron chains on his wrists and shackles on his feet, and yet he just rips them apart as if they were made out of cardboard. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Somehow the evil spirit was giving him unnatural strength. How scared would you be to go near this man? What could he do to you? But the evil was also harming him socially and physically. He lived among the tombs, among the graves, far away from normal human relationships. He spent his time among dead people, in other words, no one. He was alone. Whenever evil controls a person, it leads to antisocial behavior. It affects relationships. It separates and alienates people. And here, when evil has completely possessed a man, he is isolated from the rest of society. It's antisocial, but it's also self-destructive. Night and day, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. The devil doesn't want what's best for us. He wants to destroy us. Jesus said to the Pharisees who were trying to attack him, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires, and he was a murderer from the beginning." We had that great reading from Genesis 3. Even in the beginning with Adam and Eve, the devil promised Adam and Eve wisdom and freedom if they just reject God's ways. They just have freedom away from God. But in reality, he led them into slavery, to sin, into spiritual death, into the control of the evil one. So he would dominate them. Here we see the extreme effects of evil on one man. He is so possessed that he's trying to cut himself. Evil is destroying him from the inside out. It's horrible. It's a horrible picture of what evil wants to do to us. But secondly, and wonderfully, this powerful, scary, evil force is powerless before the Lord Jesus. Completely powerless before him. Chapter 5, verse 6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He voluntarily bows down before the Lord Jesus. And he reveals the highest title Jesus has received in Mark's gospel up till now. Even the disciples haven't realized just how powerful Jesus is. And yet this demon-possessed man calls him the Son of the Most High God. He sees who Jesus is. And he tries to make Jesus swear to God that he won't torture him. Isn't it interesting? The torturer is afraid to be tortured by someone who's even more powerful. For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man." And we then discover why this man is so superhumanly strong and so dominated by evil. Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Verse 9, "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. In the Roman legion, there were up to 6,000 soldiers. So this wasn't just one evil spirit. It was a whole army of evil spirits dominating, controlling this man, trying to destroy him. That's why they're so powerful. And yet they beg. Notice that. They beg Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. The most powerful evil force people have ever seen is powerless before the Lord Jesus. He can do nothing to touch Jesus. He has to beg Jesus. Kind of reminds me of that old Adidas slogan, you know, "Impossible is nothing." I've never really liked that slogan. It doesn't make sense. Like, the biggest thing you can think of, impossible, how can it be nothing? Well, then, if that's impossible, if it's nothing, then what's something? It just doesn't make logical sense. Maybe I'm being too literal. Maybe impossible is easy. I could understand that, but not impossible is nothing. But it's kind of like what's happening here. Here is a destructive evil force that is impossible to control, and yet it is powerless before Jesus. It is nothing before Jesus. And I invited Jesus to be my Lord and Savior when I was a young boy. And the first thing that I noticed was that I wasn't afraid of the dark anymore. You know, it's pretty natural for young kids to be afraid of monsters or boogeymen under their bed, something evil out there in the dark. But from that point on, I knew that Jesus was with me. I remember walking through the house in the dark and thinking, There's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus is right with me. Isn't that amazing? For evil is powerless before the Lord Jesus. If you have him, there is nothing to be afraid of. Now the evil spirits beg Jesus to send them into a herd of pigs on a nearby hillside, and Jesus gives them permission. Then the herd, about 2,000 pigs, rush down the hillside and drown in the sea. Again, we see the destructive force of evil as it takes the lives of those pigs. These demons would have destroyed that man like they did the pigs if they could. But then the people are left with Jesus, someone who is even more powerful than this scary force. The word spreads and people come from town and country to see what happened. Verse 15, when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They didn't rejoice, they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Once they were scared of the demon-possessed man, now they were afraid of Jesus. For he is incomparably more powerful. Instead of rejoicing that the man is healed, they beg Jesus to leave their region. They don't know what to do with this man who is Lord of even the evil spirits. But they fail to see that Jesus uses his power for good and not for evil. Which leads us to the next. Jesus frees and restores people from all evil. Did you notice there? The man who had been wildly possessed is now free from the control of demons. The man who was running around naked like a maniac and cutting himself is now dressed and in his right mind. He is completely healed. That is the power of Jesus. There is no other force in the universe like Jesus. And Jesus is not just superior to evil, he is hostile towards evil. He is always against evil because evil tries to destroy people that he loves. People created in the image of God. And Jesus will always be against evil. And Jesus did the business of freeing people from evil and restoring them to God. Friends, the Bible says that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. 1 John 5:19. And it is impossible to defeat him with our human strength. And we see the effects of evil in the brokenness of us, the brokenness of this world, in slavery to sin and selfishness, in antisocial behavior like hate speech and bullying and violence and war. Evil is behind all of that. And we get caught up in behaviors that are self-destructive, like self-harm and addiction to social media and pornography and gambling. Hold on just a sec. I just need to check something in my phone. Hold on just a sec. I just need to send an email. What were you saying again? Oh, sorry, hold on just a sec. Sorry. We spend all our time on our phones. It's supposed to make us connected, and yet we can spend hours without connecting with our family and our friends. We become isolated and lonely and depressed. Evil is antisocial and self-destructive. We get addicted to more money, gambling, success, and self-gratitude, gratification. All these things are the work of the devil. They promise us freedom, but lead to isolation and self-destruction. Evil is hell-bent on destroying us. But Jesus is the Lord who brings healing and freedom and restoration of our minds, spirits, and bodies. The great reformer John Calvin writes about this story, though we are not tortured by the devil in this way, yet he holds us as his slaves till the Son of God delivers us from his tyranny. Naked, torn, and disfigured, we wander about till he restores us to soundness of mind. Friends, we cannot control evil by ourselves. We cannot free ourselves from slavery to sin and the power of the devil. We need to come to Jesus and have him heal and restore us. That's what he came to do. By dying on the cross, Jesus broke the power of Satan once and for all. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." And today, as we celebrate and remember Indian Christian Day, we see that Jesus has done so much in India to free and bless people, mind, body, and soul. Followers of Jesus have opposed and led to the abolition of evil practices such as widow burning and female infanticide. They've freed people's minds by setting up world-class universities and hospitals for people's minds and bodies, healing and restoration, and places where the gospel of God have seen increases in literacy and education. The power and mercy of Jesus has transformed societies all across India. That's not just in India, of course. Every society has evils that the gospel has confronted. When revivals happened in Europe and America, they were always accompanied by reduction in crime, in swearing and drinking and gambling. But Jesus is always opposed to evil in all its forms. And he loves to free and restore people. That's what he came to do. Friends, if you're here yet and you haven't yet come to Jesus, come to him today and let him free you and heal you from the power of the evil one. For that's what he loves to do for us helpless sinners. But Jesus never forces anyone to come to him or to believe in him. When the people begged Jesus to leave in this story, he left without a word. When their pigs were destroyed, they responded out of ignorance and fear. They didn't know that Jesus uses his power to heal, not to destroy. But finally, Jesus calls us to share his work in our lives. As Jesus was getting in the boat to leave, the man himself begged to go with Jesus. He had never met someone who'd shown him so much love and so much compassion. But Jesus had other plans. Verse 19, Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. There's a beautiful hint into Jesus' divinity here. Jesus says to go and share what the Lord has done for you. Most people would think that he meant God. But the man went away into all the Gentile areas and told people how much Jesus had done for him. Jesus is the living God in human flesh. He is the one who has mercy and frees us from the power of the devil. This man became the most unlikely missionary, probably the first missionary to the Gentiles. Jesus can turn the most stubborn, evil, rebellious, uncontrollable person into a proclaimer of his mercy and grace. He did it for the man back then. He did it for the Apostle Paul, who, remember, was an insolent hater of the church, a persecutor of the church. And he's doing it today. He's doing it in your life and in my life. How have you seen Jesus' mercy and power in your life? How has he shown you his kindness and grace? How has he saved you from sin and selfishness and addiction? Jesus is the incomparable Lord of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. In the previous story, he controlled the wind and the waves, nature, And now he controls the unseen spiritual world. And he calls us to share his mercy in our lives with those around us. You don't have to be the best evangelist in the world and know all the answers. This man certainly didn't know everything about Jesus. He simply testified to what he has seen Jesus do in his life, Jesus' power and mercy. And he shared it joyfully so that all the people were amazed. Who will you share Jesus' mercy with so that all may see Jesus as the incomparable Lord of heaven and earth, who brings restoration and freedom to all who accept his healing? Why don't you think about someone in your own life before we pray? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, the one who is a sovereign Lord of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, of nature and all the spiritual world. And yet he uses his power for good to heal and free and restore us to our right minds, to restore us into relationship with you and free us from the power of the evil one. Lord, we pray that you would help us to come to Jesus. Let him work in our lives. And as he shows us his kindness and mercy and power, that we will be witnesses to the world of his majesty and his goodness. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.